Yo, what's up, class? This is Optimus Fields at My Living Truth. We're at block height 688,639, and the current price per Bitcoin is $32,618. And if you've been following us for a while, you can tell that our stream's different. We're doing a few different things back here for you guys. We're trying to make this the best stream possible. So, Jessifer, what's your thoughts, bro? We're doing this all on the fly. Yes, CV, you're live on YouTube right now. It's lit.
I'm so impressed that we are once again on YouTube. It looks awesome. We're using LNURL, and so now we're receiving Lightning Network tips over YouTube. Streams live.
Let's go.
I love to see it.
The more you send, the more Jessifer strips.
And Winicus helped us upgrade our website. So go check out btckindergarten.com. It's live. It's beautiful. It's simple. And shouts out to Winicus. He's been cracking the whip on us, making sure me and Jessifer putting out that fire content. Also, special shout out to Nico. He's been the back-end producer, giving us the accolades and the encouragement to keep this going and make this even better for you guys. So shouts out to everyone. We'll keep making it look pretty. We'll keep showing up, and we'll keep doing the damn thing. So damn, Jessifer, what a week, man. We should probably talk about some Bitcoin now. You know, like, this is a Bitcoin show after all.
Well, I mean, yeah, we've been putting in all these after hours, you know, like developments after our shifts at McDonald's, you know, because of... But you know, I'm really proud of what we managed to do, you know, between, you know, stacking burgers and whatnot.
Stacking sets.
Dude, why you gotta dox us like that, Jessifer? Jesus.
Stack sats on my burger.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-oh.
Gotta get that cheese.
Yeah. Is that what cheese tastes like on a Bitcoin standard?
It's real cheese, sats. Dude.
What is the taste of sats? That's what I want to know.
It's meaty goodness. I don't know. We'll have
like
to
like a beef steak.
Yeah, we'll have to come back on that. All right, man.
That's a whole question.
That's a whole discussion. I think the first place we're going to start tonight is the fact that Bitcoin died again. I'm surprised that we're all so cheerful and happy in the chat, considering Bitcoin's dead. The price is going to zero. And what are we even doing here? Winicus is like, we should probably rebrand to USD Kindergarten because Bitcoin died again. And we're just shooting the shit over here, guys. Like, what's your thoughts, man? Was that one, I guess?
I got a lot of pushback on that. You guys are pretty toxic.
All right. So to the people out there, the Bitcoin price fell off a cliff again. We broke under 30K this last week. It's been a pretty rough week if you are just focused on the price. But not only has the price fallen off, since last week we talked about the China banning mining, and it seems like it's actually making some waves out there. There's a lot of miners going off the network. The hash rate is falling. The difficulty adjusted, I think, somewhere between 16 and 19%, or it's going to, excuse me. And there's been a lot of FUD on the mainstream media about Bitcoin dying, and big name people selling their Bitcoins. And here we are. We're still doing Bitcoin Kindergarten. We're still on Bitcoin Twitter. Bitcoin Twitter's tearing each other apart. Everyone is, you know, on cue attacking each other because the price is going sideways. So it's just been another week in Bitcoin land. It's fun times out there. But how was your guys' week? And what are your thoughts on this last little price dump? This, you know, just little volatile roller coaster ride we're going through.
Yo, I've never been more bullish in my lifetime than right now.
Explain, Bap. Explain for the people out there that don't know what we're talking about.
All right. So I am not a technical analyst. Let me preface with that. I don't give credence to it. I don't really follow it. That being said, human emotion does repeat itself and have a similarity in the cycles that it occurs in. So, you know, when you look at the mainstream media narratives that are going on, it's all about Bitcoin crashing and dying, right? Like you said. But to those that are paying attention, we've got many of the FUD problems, if not solving, are solved. And the you know, China banning the mining in which has historically been where the dirtiest mining are, at least the critics say, with them pulling out all this hash rate out of China, not only is it solving the ill understood FUD that China controls Bitcoin, or at least the Bitcoin mining, but it's solving part of the narrative of energy, you know, bad, dirty energy that our I wouldn't even call him our buddy Elon Musk, but Elon Musk has been saying. So to me, like, when you look at, like, if you don't understand what's going on, the price is dropping, it looks scary. But if you understand the mechanics of Bitcoin and you really have a grasp on what's going on, the things that are happening with El Salvador and with China, as I just mentioned, like, these things are some of the most bullish activities, like, with that I've seen in a long time. And so I preface this with, I'm not a technical analyst, but I have been looking at this. So that's one part of it. But then when you look also at where we are on the technical side, where you look at this Wyckoff distribution and you look at this Wyckoff accumulation, it is, I don't believe in technical analysis, but when I see something with a 95% correlation, I'm at least interested in looking at it. And the sell-off that happened in Bitcoin was play-by-play a Wyckoff distribution, or Wyckoff, whatever it's called. And to a T, the exact reverse is happening now. There's a, and I'll drop these pictures in the chat once I get off my rant, but these Wyckoff accumulation period is perfectly lining up, which shows a springboard here in the next coming days to weeks. And so with the education and knowledge of some of the FUDs getting weeded out, on top of these technical indicators, on top of the overall negative sentiment now from the mainstream media and normies, on top of the mayor multiple wishes screaming a buy signal right now, I take all those things into account, and I've literally never been more bullish against what the other, you know, the main narrative is. I feel like if there's a time to go against the herd, it's right now, this week, in fact. And so, you know, that's why I'm bullish, guys.
Let's fucking go.
Absolutely bullish week, if you know where you're looking at. We have a few miners in here. Well, we had CB. I think he had to go out of here. But Nico, hopefully you're there, dude. What's your thoughts on all this stuff going on in China? Have you been looking into it, or...
Dude, huge hash rate drop, 50% down, fucking, it, like, literally 50% down, like, it was enormous, bro. Now, there's good news and bad news. Good news is, obviously, it's going to further decentralize the Bitcoin hash rate, and that's a good thing, right? That one of the major FUD talking points of a lot of the shitcoiners and fiaters was that there was an over-concentration of the hash rate in China. That narrative is dying. Obviously, it's going to Kazakhstan, it's going to El Salvador, it's going to Venezuela, it's going to anywhere where there's cheap stranded electricity. Dude, I got a message from someone in Nigeria today, and they're like, and they sent me a picture of their farm, dude, with the video, and they're like, there's so much cheap power, I'm mining for free. And I was like, holy crap, dude, this thing's happening everywhere. So it was such a strategic mistake from China to just let go of the majority of the Bitcoin hash rate like that. And I know that the United States is going to pick up some as well. Now, the bad term news is this might affect the price. I don't know, because we're kind of in uncharted territory. Like, okay, so here's the breakdown. Will Bitcoin in the next 6 months follow the pattern that it's been following for the last 12 years? Will it follow? I don't really believe in the stock to flow, but I do believe in the general prices where he says Bitcoin is going to be by that time. Is it going to continue following that trajectory? That's the big question. That's the million-dollar question. A lot of people, I like to believe so, but of course I'm biased. Michael Burry just, you know, tweeted recently, you know, he thinks Bitcoin's about to crash. So everyone has their different thesis, right? But and unfortunately, this hash rate and the Elon FUD, like, it's all at the same time, is coming like in mid bull cycle. So I don't know if that's gonna have any effect. Like Nico, I said,
it does have an effect, bro. It does. Have you seen? I'm telling you, bro. The micro penis of death. That's Elon's. That's what he brought us. We're here.
Yeah. So, I mean, Sharon, if you think that, where is the bottom? You think so? You're saying the bull market is over? Is that your belief? We've had this conversation over the phone already.
I mean, see you at 300K by end of year. That's what BAP said. And I wrote 100. But
I will say, I think Michael Saylor has really kind of set a floor for us now with this average and that huge buy. You know, I love that. I love seeing that and big institutional things like that happening. I also am really happy with all the politics going on. There's like a domino effect really happening since El Salvador. Look at Brazil with an ETF now. And you also see the new guy running for New York who wants to be the mayor. He's like, let's make New York a capital of Bitcoin, you know? Like, I think all of these are positive things, good FUD for us, which are...
Hell yeah, like, dude.
Hell yeah, Satoshi, dude.
Satoshi programmed in cheaper sats for El Salvadorians, bro.
And look, like, everyone, like, please give a round of applause to the Hodo Hodler. He was a homeless man, you know, 5 years ago, and he bought Bitcoin, and he was able to get himself out of homelessness. So, everyone, please give him a round of applause.
I'd do it for the baby.
And I clapped. He gave birth to his own baby too, just so you know.
But yeah, man, let's see what happens, dude. It's really interesting, and all I know is just stay humble, stack sats, and yeah, bro, just keep doing that. That never fails.
When moon though? Let's talk. When moon? Give me a
dude. Date. I'm
already on it.
I'm sticking to my guns, dude. I say 200K end of the year. But we'll know if that's gonna, that it will know even if that's a possibility within the next month and a half. We'll know what the deal is, right?
What?
Yeah.
I just want to know why specifically 200K or like some say 300. There was a BTC article mag that projected 2 to 4. Like, where do these come from? And also, if you look at, you know, where we were in like June of 2017 and the way the market moves, is that correlating pretty well? Like I tried to look at it myself, and again, I'm not like a TA dude. So like where are these like price projections coming from other than like stock to flow? And then are we kind of like quote unquote on target to what history has shown?
So a lot of the price, so I don't only go by stock to flow. But I also go most importantly by the amount of transactions on the Bitcoin network and the amount of new users coming onto the Bitcoin network, right? And that's still growing tremendously. In fact, it's growing faster than it was last year. Right. And then on top of that, you also see the Lightning Network public capacity. That's also been, we've been covering this on Simply Bitcoin, Phil and I. That's also been growing tremendously. Right. Phil's been pointing it out. And I'm like, I can't believe it, because I remember it when that thing was under 1,000 and it stayed under 1,000 for I don't know how many years, you know. So I take that into consideration. But a major part of like the way that I see the price is I see the hash rate is so important. Right. So I think that we're going to see this mass migration of miners, because remember, the mining reward is still the same. So like that's a hell of an incentive. Right. So and you see a lot of videos of just Chinese people just moving like racks of just miners, and they're moving it to any place that just has cheap enough electricity. So I would want to see the hash rate recover. And then I also think that the United States, based on the level of money printing that they're doing right now, it's not sustainable, right? And people are starting to notice, and the Fed is having a hard time, you know, kind of covering up the real true CPI, which Saylor and a lot of people, like if you look at the housing prices and all that stuff, they really think it's about 14 to 15%, right? But the Fed wants you to believe it's really 3%. But if you look at prices, food, power, gas, everything has just gone up tremendously, right? So there's only so long they can keep up that lie, right? So I think that at the end of the year, there's going to be like the combination of factors, dude, that are just going to push Bitcoin up to, I would say 100K is like the minimum, like conservative. But the reason I say 200K is because, dude, when there's a mania, when there's a FOMO, which we haven't blown off the top, we haven't done that this year, right? But when there's a FOMO, when there's a mania, when you go out on the street and, you know, the taxi driver's like, hey, do you own Bitcoin? And like all that shit. I saw that in 2017. I remember it so well. I know Sharon was with me, and a couple other homies were with me during that time. And dude, it was absolutely nuts. It was wild. I didn't see it get that wild this year. So like, I really think that this was just like the, you know, the rise before the parabolic move, you know, the blow off the top. And then with the blow off the top, all numbers are off, right? Yeah, I say 200 because I'm being conservative, but dude, some people think it's 250. Some people think it's 300. I have no idea. But what I can tell you is that the markets get super irrational, right? But I think that like the base price, where I think Bitcoin is actually fundamentally what it's actually worth, right? I would say it's around 100K. You know, that's what I think it's actually worth.
Dude, I'm going to jump in real quick. I'm quick. I think we're looking at the stocks to flow model. So I think everything's going to dump. You know, stocks are at some crazy valuations. I haven't seen this. I've been investing in stocks for like fucking long time right now. And I'm a historian when it comes to that. And we're going to dump. Bitcoin's going to dump probably a little bit more. Like, it's all good. But the subsequent pump, like, you just don't want to miss it, because that's the blow off top. It's the stocks to flow, because I think gold is just, it's not owned by enough people. And I think like people own stock, people own shit coins, people own all these things. And like, you look at the Bitcoin dominance percentage. I know it's like a shitty metric, whatever, but I think that's going back to 85-90%. And so, yeah, I'm bullish, but obviously we need a big enough drawdown to, you know, we know the game. It's a catapult. Got to pull it back.
You know what would help with that drawdown, bro? If you sold your stocks.
I don't have any. Right. I don't have any. I haven't had any for like 2 years now, bro.
Okay, thank God. The way you were speaking had me a little worried, but
I know the game, baby. I know the game, baby. But you know, I've been zero stocks for like two plus years now. It's been pretty fucking great. My balls dropped, 2.5 years ago or something like that. You know?
Balls dropped by the dip. I like it.
My balls dropped right before we blew up to 64. Right, I got enough time, like 2.5 years. Right, that's enough time.
Yo, Nico, I want to add something after what you were saying. I think that the easiest way to look at whether Bitcoin's going to go parabolic or not is not even to look at Bitcoin, because there's so much uncertainty around like all the things we've been saying about hash rate, where it's coming from, political regulation, adoption rate, this and that. Like, but what I do know with certainty is that the United States government, which indirectly controls the supply of the United States dollars, although they're not supposed to, cannot mathematically, it's a certainty, not 99%, it's 100%, they cannot ever sufficiently pay the national debt. They also, but because of that, cannot fund pension liabilities. They cannot fund Social Security. They cannot cover Medicare.
Wait, hold on, because that's kind of a narrative. I'm sorry, bro, but that's kind of a narrative that. So look, the reason that governments never have to pay their debt is because they're making the bet that the GDP will outpace the level of debt. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, right, like, for example, like, GDP... in World War II, like, let me give you an example, because this is the one that's always been used. In World War II, where it was crazy, it was like 110% of the debt to the GDP of the United States at the time. The United States government really never paid that off. What happened is that the United States economy outgrew that debt, right? And by outgrowing that debt, and because inflation is a thing, right, they owed less debt. Does that make sense? Because the money that they owed was losing value while the GDP was growing.
Bro, so we stole gold, bro. We stole everyone's gold. Everyone was storing gold in the United States, bro.
So
we stole everyone's gold and then printed them to oblivion, like, straight up.
That's what I was getting at. So because of all of these certainties, they cannot sufficiently capitalize their liabilities with money that they already have, nor can they do it through taxation. So the only thing that the government can do is print more money in perpetuity. And so if that is a certainty, then it's also a certainty that the money will be devalued over time. Now, there may be ups and downs due to demand, due to capital controls and so forth, but it only can unwind. There's no way to flip the boat that's already flipped over. And so
that's why I'm buying art.
Get the fuck out of it.
Yo, that was good.
Yo, I promise you, my friend, he's just satirical, but he's highly offensive. He was born that way.
Yo, and so, like, I'll finish with, like, because there is no other alternative but to print money, even if it's not 5 years from now, maybe it's 10, maybe it's 20, inevitably the U.S. dollar will result in hyperinflation, and people are going to look for an alternative. That doesn't guarantee that it's going to be Bitcoin, but Bitcoin has the most attractive monetary properties to anyone who is put in that situation and is given free choice. And so when I look at Bitcoin and take a risk-adjusted bet on it, I'm looking at not just like where it's going to go in price, or, you know, stupid to look at dollar price anyway, but for the purpose of this conversation, like, it's more of like, how confident am I that the other side of the trade is going to unwind, and then what's the probability that they're going to come to Bitcoin? And I think that is incredibly high. I'm more confident in the dollar collapsing than I am in Bitcoin's adoption. But if you know the dollar is going to collapse, then it's game theoretically dumb to stay in dollars. So you might as well take the best risk adjusted bet you can and most tax efficient bet you can with a buy and hold strategy by just stacking sats.
I agree. Oh, it's really hard to tell. Like, I feel like we all agree that they don't have any other choice but to keep printing. And I think that's also intentional. Like what I was saying in my little presentation bullshit is that they have an alternative, or they were always having to form an alternative in the back of their mind, whether or not that looks like an SDR, some sort of like fiat global like currency, which I don't really think that there was going to be like a new world order, like government, because, you know, China, you know, hates America, or no, I don't want to say that, but you know, there's like rivalries and stuff. But I think this is all intentional to print into oblivion and to get on that MMT, modern monetary theory standard of basically the MMTers are just more honest about the fuckery in the financial system.
So
where
true.
They're like, yeah, we can print the money. It's okay. We don't need to worry about like repo and like collateral and fucking, you know, using these arbitrary instruments in order to print the money. It's like they're just being straight up honest. And I think that is eventually where the world, US, but world economy is being forced to head.
And so I'll ask this one quick response to that. So if we didn't have the knowledge of a capability to separate money from state, would that be the inevitable? And but in a, like
what,
as a counter,
would MMT be the inevitable?
What, like, would this big one world government, like, when, if we're saying like agreement that the dollar's going to collapse, and
okay, so what they're doing, right, and they're going to do a very clever, Max Kaiser talked about this on a show, they're going to do a very clever sleight of hands, right? So what all the central banks are realizing all around the world right now is that they're going to be made obsolete, right? Bitcoin is a major threat to that. So essentially what they're playing, right, is the CBDCs, central bank digital currencies. That's going to essentially, like, the issue of like printing into oblivion with central bank digital currencies, that's not going to be an issue at all because they will have total and complete control of the system, right? So for example, you'll have an app on your phone and that will be the CBDC, that'll be the Fed coin, right? If you're in Europe, you have the Euro coin. And the narrative that they'll use to attack Bitcoin is it uses too much energy. That's why they're pushing this ESG narrative and all that bullshit all around the world. And they, you know, in coins like Ethereum, you see Silicon Valley and you see the tech guys, you know, putting that on a pedestal, right? Why? Because you can control a proof of stake system, right? In fact, the fiat system right now, you can make a case that it is a proof of stake system or a version of a proof of stake system. So that's what's on the horizon. I think that there will be inflation in the United States, but I do not think that the United States, because it is, dude, it controls what, 30% or 25%, 25 to 30% of the world GDP.
40.
And then I'm pretty sure it's less than 40, dude. I'm pretty sure it's 30, but I'll have to check. But anyway, but okay, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Let's say it's 40. We only have 6% of the world population, right? So, like, dude, like, we create so much wealth because of the amount of global brands that we have, right? Think about it, dude. You can go to any country in the world right now, you can find a McDonald's, mostly every country, right? So you could, you know, you could find American brands everywhere, right? And, bro, like, as long as America is this economical powerhouse, this idea of, like, hyperinflation, while we have the world reserve currency status, it's not going to happen, right? What's going to happen is that there's going to be inflation, right? What I think is the actual threat to come, what I think is the battle to come, right, is, unfortunately, it's just going to be a battle of information. This is why memes and this is why this show is so freaking important, because eventually what's going to happen is essentially people are going to have a choice. Right. They're going to have a choice between convenience and slavery and freedom and slight inconvenience. Right. Which means Bitcoin, Lightning Network, or central bank digital currencies. Right. And I think that's what governments are going to peddle. That's where governments are going to go for. And because they want to keep that control. And you see this rhetoric on the European Central Bank's Twitter accounts. You see it. It's all there. They literally say it. It's like, you could trust us. You know, you need regulations. It's all, they're peddling what they're trying to do, right? So that's the last boss, right? That's the last boss, is beating essentially the central banks, the European Central Bank, the American Central Bank. But it's not so much by trying to beat them with this idea of like Bitcoin's better money and blah blah blah, because their central bank digital currencies are going to be extremely more convenient, right? You're going to be able to send very, very quickly, whatever. What will turn people to Bitcoin is the freedom enabling part. And again, the NGU technology, right? So our job, right, as plebs, as content creators, as musicians like Phil, is to orange pill as many people as possible into the idea of self-custody, right? Because when someone starts to self-custody, when someone starts to actually hold their money, they're never going to want to touch a central bank digital currency for the rest of their lives, right?
Exactly, bro.
That's the battle. Exactly. That's the battle ahead of us. That should be our focus. And this is all going to happen within the decade. And if you think that fucking El Salvador, you think that the IMF and the World Bank's just going to lay down. You saw their press releases when they just did it. It all happened just like literally the day after. We won't support this. Even though in the World Bank's founding articles, it literally says that we will support any foreign currency. It literally says it in their goddamn founding articles in 1944, right? But they're not doing that because they know it's a threat to the system. They know it's a threat to their system of control, right?
It's a local currency no matter where you are. That's the idea of it.
Exactly. And they're not accepting it. They say we will not accept this with Bitcoin. So they're breaking their own articles. Why are they breaking their own articles? Because they're scared shitless.
If you can mine Bitcoin anywhere, terrified. Nico, that means it's a local currency everywhere, right?
Yeah. Yes.
If you can mint the currency anywhere, that means it's a local currency everywhere. And I think one thing I want to add to what you said is just something that I wrote in the chat is that I think like all the spooks are calling for like a decrease in volatility. Like I read Taleb's paper and it just like it's so short and it's so full of bullshit, you know, and it's just like, oh, we need to have a less volatile alternative to like state controlled currency. And it's like I think we need a lot of volatility to get to where we want to go. So yeah, fuck the spooks.
Hey Nico, I want to apologize. You were right, the US makes up 20% of GDP. I was thinking the 40% of all debt issued in dollars, and then 60% of the exchange rate is in dollars.
So let me ask you something. It's 25 to 30%, right? Not 20%.
Well, fuck me. Cool.
No, I'm just asking you because I thought you just checked.
Oh, no. I don't know. Like the numbers I use in the article I wrote, I found 20, but okay. I took those
what
notes.
What stat are you guys discussing?
The GDP, the total GDP of the United States in the global scale.
Yeah. So I got 20. It may be.
What's the percentage?
20. I found.
I think it's like 25 to 30.
In U.S. stocks are what, like 200% of GDP?
Yeah. Look. It's 25%. I just looked.
But U.S. stocks are what, 200% of GDP right now?
The Wilshire 5000. The GDP of the United States is 25% of the total world GDP.
And U.S. stocks are to GDP ratio is like above 150%, I believe, if my memory's
right. I have no idea, dude. I'm only a Bitcoiner. I don't know anything about stocks.
No, but I'm saying, dude, there's a lot of like, you know, inflated sort of, you know.
No, but it's always been
other assets that are going to flow. And I think central banks don't come down first. They come down last. So it's like, look at like where people are storing their money, gold, stocks, like. Whatever, wherever people.
But the thing is, dude. Look. You store your money in gold. It's not really your gold. You're storing in a fucking custodial service. The same applies to stocks, dude. If you store your wealth in stocks and gold, you're not defeating the system. The only way to defeat the system is to opt out completely.
Those things are going to flow first into Bitcoin because people are going to lose faith in those assets because it's going to look very. It looks right now very bad for those assets, dude. You know, like it just looks terrible. Like the setup is just like the worst setup in history. Like Michael Burry, he is calling the top of the stock market. Whether he's going to be wrong for a year or not is irrelevant. Like he's giving you like for if you're a stock investor, good advice. But yeah, stack those sats with all your, you know, like that's kind of like what I hear from people. Oh, but like I'm in like non-risky companies. I'm like, yo, all these people are going to get wrecked because they view like their assets as like legitimate, right? And I think like that's where the first money flows. It flows from like the path of least resistance. Like I don't think it just like a central bank's gonna wake up tomorrow and pump you to 300K, you know?
Or will they?
Dude, I have no idea.
Weinekist works for a central bank as a mole. It's confirmed.
I got the inside word. Tonga. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, one thing that I've been trying to keep an eye on is like all the reverse repo that's going on. I mean, I think it was just today that there was 800 some billion dollars that was done in a reverse repo, which essentially means that the banks in the U.S. have too much cash on hand and they need to get rid of it. And so the natural response from, you know, someone that is a responsible manager of money would mean that they would have to do quantitative tightening just to get some of that cash out of the system. However, the Fed's dual mandate saying that you need stable prices, and full employment when we have really high unemployment numbers means that the only option that they have is more quantitative easing.
So they're going to
continue to print.
But the mechanism, look, it's even more fucked up than that, right? It's because it's even more fucked up than that, bro. Look, so at the end, okay, so the settlement layer in the United States, the way it works, right? Like, I'm going to give the analogy to Bitcoin so everyone understands, right? Is that in Bitcoin, it gets settled every 10 minutes when a block is found, right? The settlement layer in the United States, right, is at the end of every business day or banking day, right? At the end, essentially the banks clear and like, you know, like the lightning channels, they close their channels to make sure like everything's good. The issue is, right, is that none of the banks want to lend out the money because the interest rate doesn't incentivize them to do so. So they hoard it. So what the Fed has to do so the system doesn't implode is the Fed actually has to buy back that money the same night and then the next day give it back to them in the form of quantitative easing. So it's even more fucked up than you think it is, bro. And then this goes back to the first repo market problem, which happened back in 2020, right before they were going to start printing. And dude, the opposite thing happened, right? Which was banks weren't willing to lend other banks money to cover their expenses for the end of that day. And then the Fed had to step in. And what caused that first repo incident was the fact that the Fed started to try to buy back tried to sell some of the treasuries that it had on its asset sheet. So, dude, it like now the opposite happened a year later. Like, that's how fucked up the system is right now. It's so fucked up, bro. But yeah, man.
You guys left out taxes, though, and they're just going to tax, like, taxes going up, baby. That's the only way.
Which is, like, El Salvador being a foreign currency is maybe one of the most bullish things ever. Just because, like, you know, any of us could go to El Salvador, support the local economy there, pay in our sats if we so choose, and also avoid all the capital gains taxes that the US wants to push on its people after they've inflated the money supply and pushed people into assets that appreciate, that actually store value, which is I don't know, that combination of strategies is just super fucked up. So anyways, thank God for Bitcoin.
Yo, Lord Fusatua, the Tonga guy, he mentioned that he wants to send shitcoiners to space. So just thought you guys could know.
Was he eating when he said it?
I mean, to get that big, you have to be eating 24/7.
Can we all just go have dinner with him? I gotta meet that dude.
I'm in. He's awesome to listen to, I will say, but it's just definitely funny.
And that guy's the most well-spoken gentleman that looks like he could fucking break you in half.
Bro, he eats. I want to just see him eating for the day. Like, I want to see it, you know?
But dude, he is so kind and so well spoken and so articulate. Yeah, yeah. Like, and he's very well read, dude. And but the guy looks like, you know, he fucking kill you, he'll break your neck. But he's just like the nicest guy in the world.
I guess that's how it'd be like.
All right, guys. So now that you guys terrified the listeners, Winekus gave us the question. It's a perfect segue. How are we Sherping our noobs out of this? It's obviously stack sats, but are you guys getting any headway right now with your people's, like, new Bitcoiners stacking sats? Or are people still looking at you like you're crazy? All of them. What was that?
Some people stole all their corn. I can't believe
no.
it.
No. Yo, listen to this, dude. So I have a theory, all right? Start some shit that's interesting, all right? I think if people sell, like, I take that personally to myself because, like, I'm the one helping, like, educate, like, them on hodling, right? And I think the people that have sold in the past, like, I learned, like, what type of person that is, you know? And I try to only tell those people, like, in a bear market. Like, and then other people that I know I can make headway with, like, you know, I know people that, you know, nobody listens to me, like, yo, auto DCA, and then, like, you'll be fine. You'll never be worried. They go, dude, so, like, I aped in. And you're like, all right, then just, like, keep going. He's like, yeah. But, like, at 50K, like, not one of the people called me who aped in. So I'm, like, kind of happy about that. But I learned that, like, I think that's happened to me a couple times. I think you just got to, like, take notes on, like, why that happened. Because, like, fuck, man, it's frustrating. I can feel that.
It wasn't due to lack of education and preparation. I'll tell you that. But bro, they were just like, Bitcoin sucks. And I was like, excuse me? What?
Yeah, dude, honestly, bro, I don't even know how to react. I think I'll just be like,
yeah, I just like, all right, have fun, Sabor. I don't care.
Yeah, like, I'll take that as like a battle scar, you know? Fuck it.
Dude, and that's where it's like those people you spend hours and days with, like, and like thinking that they get it, and to like see them like give up right now, knowing that, you know, I was saying earlier, like, I'm so unbelievably bullish right now. That doesn't mean it's going to go up, but it means I think it's going to go up. And so to see them sort of tap out at, you know, buy it at 50K and sell it at 30K, it's just like, man, I hate to see that happen, like, under anybody's watch, you know. But not my fault.
Show them the micro penis of death. That's it.
Game dude, over. I was just, why, dude, wine just doxed me. Fucking it. The Green Lantern, bro, the white micro penis of death, dude. Like, it's amazing, dude. Like, I really think it's Signal, by the way, just so you guys know. Like, until my model is broken, like, I want as many followers as Plan B. I'm not even joking. Like, I'm making an account, the micro penis of death, and like, it has a win streak, dude. You know? I mean, somebody prove me wrong. Just saying.
It's in the maths, bro. It's in the maths.
Dude, Satoshi priced it in so that El Salvador can get cheaper sats. And whoever sells, you know what? They're just helping El Salvadorians get cheaper sats. So they're doing – it's good for Bitcoin no matter how you look at it.
This is how you Sherpa a newbie through this. You get a Swan link and you tell them, get your daily DCA up. And little do you know, you're stacking with them. You're just supporting them along the way. But it's all about the daily. Just catch the averages and you won't get wrecked.
How many people you got on Swan? It tells you, right?
Less than 21 million.
Ooh. Honestly, bro, you would need more than that, though, right?
Yeah, you need a lot more than 21 million people, bro. Need like 10 billion. They're not all American, though. They don't all pass the KYC requirements, right?
Yeah, Wine is sitting on a SAT referral of under 21 million. That's all we can verify right now, so who knows?
Yeah, the only SATs I have are free.
Yeah. Legend.
Dude, I love Swan, man. I've got like 30 people signed up there. It's been...
30?
I mean,
Jesus.
Yeah, bro. I mean, Orange, my family is helping me sort of orange pill their extended friends who were boomers and so forth. I just like berate them until they get it. And, you know, with a compassionate, tone, but like, I'm just like, look, like, you don't have a choice in this, and I'm not going to stop until you cave. So we could do this the easy way or the hard way. I wouldn't do this with anybody but my family, but, you know, then like they start doing it. It's like that ripple effect, right? Like that's why Bitcoin goes parabolic. It's the network.
Taylor, I'm going to keep sending the link every day and be like, you don't have a choice.
Yo, honestly, I'm going to tell people, yeah, I'm about to bap you, bro. Relax. I'm about to bap you. Another one. Another one.
Yeah, just like just send.
Well, Bap, I got a question for you. Considering you've orange-pilled so many of your friends and family, were they financially literate before this, or...
Oh, God, no. They're all ridiculous. They have none of them. It's like, true. I grew up in Louisiana. Most of them don't, like, even invest in the stock market. And in fact, like, I'm sort of, you know, I was a financial advisor before, you know, rabid Bitcoin maximalist. And so I was already sort of that role in the family. And then, like, the last couple of years, they're just like, or really the last year, more specifically, though I've talked about it to him before, but the conviction has ramped up exponentially to bullying. At this point, like, they trust me. I mean, and it's not that they trust, you know, it's not the messenger necessarily, but it very much does matter, like, who is giving the message, right? If because I had that credential that they didn't look at me as like nephew or son or cousin or you know, friend, they looked at me as credentialed BTC bat. And no, I'm serious, because that's what matters to these different categories of people. Like the letters behind your name all of a sudden give everything that you say an air of truth.
How did they respond to this last dip that we had? Were they freaking out? Were they panicking? Were they saying BAP's a fraud? What was going on there?
Yes. So like one specifically, like I was saying, I mean, they didn't blame it on me, but they just blamed it on Bitcoin. To which, you know, I mean, you can't help everyone, but I've been surprised at how many fairly non-technical people in my family, in my, you know, big associate, you know, one step removed, have really like been texting me, and they're like, no, I'm not worried, like I'm stacking. So I think what I was saying earlier, like, too, is like, I think the narrative that there can be a sound money that can work outside of the purvey of the government control is an idea that's already out of the bag. And it's not like, even if Bitcoin fails, they're gonna make, like, I mean, just like, it sounds ridiculous to even say that, but like the idea that a government is not a necessary leg in the stool of a functioning society to create the money is now realized. And because it's realized, it's going to spread like wildfire. And so even people who don't necessarily get the technical side, when they start hearing it from more and more people, they start, like, especially the less technical people that they're hearing it from, the idea becomes like, oh, it's like we never thought the world was round until we thought about it being round. And now it's like, oh, duh. And it's that same line of thinking. It's like, it's very hard to go against the grain. But once some people go against the grain and show you the path that it's okay to take, it's like people just follow. So mostly I've been proud of them. You know, they've been stacking, they've been sending screenshots of their smash buys on Swan, and they're setting up their cold storage wallets. You know, I'm like, don't send me the seed words though. Well, you know, it's up to you. But yeah, man, I'm off my rant. I'm shutting up.
Well, you're doing Satoshi's work over there, because my friends are still in Dogecoin. And I'm just laughing because they just got wrecked, and They're hodling to the moon. And I don't have that perceived legitimacy with my friends and family. I have the, he's the black sheep of our friends. Like, he's always been eclectic. He has always said crazy shit. So,
you know, optimist eclectic. That's what I'm going to start telling people. You know, who's your friend? Oh, he's like, just, he's an eclectic.
Tell them your credentialed friend, BTC BAP, is here too. And he's also bullish on Bitcoin. They should believe him.
I'm calling you, I'm calling you Eclectic Fields from now on.
Yo, he need that.
He just doxed me too. I'm going to have to mute myself.
Oh man, that's lit. Hey, Eclectic Field sounds like a rich mogul or something. So might have to steal that one, bro. Might have to take that one.
Take it.
All right, guys. I want to kind of transition a little bit. I can't pull up the full questions of what we have, so maybe Jestifer can pull those up. But Phil,
have we talked about McAfee yet?
No, that's exactly what I was going to transition into. So,
question: is he dead or is he dead?
Savage.
I think
Rip.
He's gay.
Rip. So I guess to those that don't know, John McAfee, the creator of McAfee antivirus software, was supposed to get extradited from Spanish prison and wound up dead, wound up quote unquote hanging himself. But as anyone who's followed him on social media is well aware of, it seems like he got suicided and or Epstein'd. And it's been one of those days where, as you know, say what you want about McAfee, he's a character that is one of our characters in the quote unquote crypto space. And he's, you know, he's a legend. If you know anything about him, he's definitely someone that people can dislike, but he's an absolute legend. He's a character. He is one of those that was in the front line of fighting liberty and doing what we do, but on a totally different level. And to see him wind up quote unquote hanging himself is definitely one of those bitter moments in the crypto space, even though I hate to say that word crypto, but you know, he's very famous for being a shit coiner, but that's neither here nor there. I'm not one to talk shit on someone right when they pass away, but in my book, an absolute legend. But I think the point that we can bring up and talk about is why, you know, he wound up dead and the surrounding context to it all. So I saw a lot of really good tweets on Twitter today. I wish I had them all handy right now. I'd have to search through Twitter and find some of them. But I don't know. Phil, do you got some thoughts on this? Or that's a good one, Jestifer. So Jestifer writes in the chat, as Brecky said, the devil finally got a good drinking buddy. Z Fusion, is hilarious. It true that he knew Satoshi? I don't know. I don't know about that. But
dude, he was Satoshi.
He was Satoshi, exactly.
Hey man, I just want to know, does this mean I'm gonna stop getting those fucking McAfee emails now?
What are you part of the antivirus?
No, like,
the antivirus.
I just bought a Windows and it's come pre-installed like pop-ups, and I keep getting emails. It's like, Phil, final 30 days to like get a free trial, and I know like he's not a part of that shit anymore, but I hate that. Irrelevant. I don't mean to talk ill on the dead.
No,
I do know that he was a badass, like shit coinery aside. He was really just a hardcore agorist. I heard an interview with him like, you know, a few years ago on Sal the Agorist podcast. And yeah, I mean, when you dodge taxes, you get fucked. I guess all I can do is speculate onto like why they killed him or if he killed himself or what. Does anyone know if he had any like?
He had a tattoo.
Yeah, go in, Andrew, because you had a great tweet.
Schwartz, he fucking killed. No, dude, He did not kill himself. I'm sorry. I've been all quiet. I'm so tired. Like 3 hours of sleep. But I have to rant about this. I don't know if you guys know who Rosa Quar is. Rosa Quar worked, I believe it was for the Department of Housing Urban Development, something like that. And she talks a lot, or she used to talk a lot, about Agenda 2030 and climate change and all of this bullshit that these NGOs are pushing, like the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, the World Health Organization, like all these NGOs, you know, and all these talking points. She died within this past month. And coincidentally, I found out she used to live in the same city that I am at in Mexico. So she died. There was a guy named John Hurley or Joshua Hurley, who is also a libertarian activist in Colorado. He just died yesterday. And like some people would call you a conspiracy for this, but to me, it's just so obvious. Like if you are loud and if you influence other people to not, maybe not want to pay taxes or not support the government, like they schwack you. The guy had a fucking tattoo saying schwacked. And then one last one. There was one last one. I forget her name. I'm tired right now. What was her name? There was a vaccine anti-vax advocate. She used to work for Brandy Vaughn. That's her name. Brandy Vaughn. She used to work for Merck. She got out of Merck as a whistleblower saying that they were threatening doctors who were speaking out against their vaccines. She got killed 3 to 4 months ago. And she also said, I am not suicidal.
Yeah.
That's the rant.
Hey, Andrew, will you read everyone the tweet that you put out today? Because I thought it was a great tweet. While I pulled up one from John McAfee. This was while he was in jail, October 15th of 2020. He says, I am content in here. I have friends. The food is good. All is well. Know that if I hang myself a la Epstein, it will be no fault of mine. So he's been putting out a lot of cryptic tweets for a while. And it's just, it's one of those things, like Andrew said, like if you're too big and you're a little too loud and you're a little too influential, even if you are quote unquote crazy, you know, like the powers that be might shut you up. And the real story here is, you know, say what you want about McAfee, but the government hitmen definitely got him. Like you can't convince me otherwise.
Yep.
And you know, like this podcast will probably get suppressed on YouTube, but it doesn't matter because, you know, we have to speak truth to power. And to anyone that's following what has happened and what is happening in the world, it's clear as day. And the fact that they can continue to do this in the open for everyone to see and we're still conspiracy theorists is just like we live in a clown world. And like, that's why we Bitcoin, and you can't convince us otherwise.
Well, dude, I mean,
it's no longer profitable.
He almost died a martyr for us and people for liberty. But like, what does that say about us? Like, are they going to come after Bitcoiners because we're dissidents like Nick Carter? Joking, of course. But, you know, we're trying to do the show and speak the truth and shit. So what if that gets out of hand?
I mean, I would, like, dude, I'm pretty much have fully convinced myself or am trying to fully convince myself and steel myself to the idea that at one day they will come after us. And I just better hope I have all my eggs in a row. But I also am naively optimistic and just hope that, you know, there's too many Bitcoiners and it's unfeasible for them to go after all of us. And at a certain point, It's just a tipping point, and they have to either, you know, go along with us or just openly get wrecked. So I don't know,
they
man.
Missed the fans in Miami.
Well,
we gotta have our own citadels, dude. Our own security. So my tweet was just to end that. My tweet was getting suicided in jail because you refuse to let the world's biggest terrorist organization, U.S. government, steal your money every single year. Honorable.
Whew. Preach wisdom,
fucking honorable dude.
But yeah, man, it's definitely a tragedy, and you know, I wouldn't wish that on even my enemies to have government hitmen take them out. So I don't know, anyone want to go in on some rants or have any more thoughts on this, or maybe, you know, just say rip. Nope, maybe next time. Jestifer, can you look at our list? Because we are at about an hour, but I know we had a couple more questions. But, oh, actually, I remember one of them. And we've pretty much covered it throughout the show, so I don't know if we want to recover it. But the question was, how are you so convicted right now? How do you have so much conviction in Bitcoin? Yeah, here we go. We're at an hour, so we probably won't answer some of those. But what gives you conviction about Bitcoin? I think we've answered those.
Why do Fudsters exist?
Oh, yeah. Okay, Winikus. Yeah, give us some context on that one.
Like, sure, we have the IMF that we just heard about with their motives, all these governments that see a threat to Bitcoin. You have the media talking shit. You have all these weird stories like the FBI hacked into somebody's wallet. You have your dumb friends and family that won't listen to you. So why do they exist? Why aren't they Bitcoiners yet?
Well, I mean, the easy answer is because they're still brainwashed. They're still stuck in the matrix. They believe the status quo narrative, and also they would rather go along with what they know than put in the hard work to change, you know, basically everything they know about life. But for the scammers and the Fudsters in there, it's kind of, you know, like they know that they can take advantage of these people, because if you have an air of perceived legitimacy, then people will follow you. You know, humans are, as much as I'm team human, humans are very much lemmings at times and very, very easily coerced if you pull the right psychological triggers. And so that's why people will scam. You know, they know they can get away. They don't want to put in the work. They don't want proof of work. They just want to take the shortcuts and, you know, fleece their fellow humans and try to get away with it. But it's a lot harder in the Bitcoin world. But I mean, as we have this question right here, is does Bitcoin enable crime? And in some respects it does, but in other respects, if you create Bitcoiners, then it's a lot harder to fleece them. Like, look at all of us, man. I'm sure we've all got our headaches and put in, you know, our black eyes in this Bitcoin game, but we're still here. We're still learning, and it'll definitely be harder for us to get fleeced the next time. And we're out here spreading the knowledge to all the Bitcoiners that we know, or the new coiners that we are trying to orange pill. And, you know, each one teach one, and soon enough, maybe we'll be living in a world full of Bitcoiners. Like Coinbase put out that tweet today of Matt Odell, and it said, like, there won't be a Bitcoin Twitter in the future because Bitcoin will be the global standard. And I truly hope so. I truly believe that in the future, everyone will just be a Bitcoiner and we'll be living based on first principles. But that does sound a little utopic, so.
It's funny, like I've been working with a partner on Amboss.space, and I had to deposit a check from him, who's in Germany, into a U.S. bank account. And the amount of issues that we ran into just in that one attempt to make a single payment made us both so bullish on Bitcoin, because it is seamless. I mean, there's no end to Fudsters, for sure. Like, it's the same reason that you don't ask, you know, someone that makes typewriters about the possibilities that the internet might provide. Like, of course, they're not going to tweet out something about that. But, you know, we basically, this is like the FUD is them grabbing a megaphone and just blasting that, you know, uncertainty about this new technology all the time. even though they know their industry is dead, because you take one look at that technology and you realize that it disrupts just about everything that they've become accustomed to. All the comfort that they've enjoyed will no longer be comfort. It will turn to ashes in their mouth. We've basically created a technology that is so empowering for regular people, and it's got such a network effect that, like, it will bring hope to so many, just because it enables such frictionless commerce. And I think we'll be witnessing that on the Lightning Network, and I think El Salvador will be one of the first to realize, you know, how much hope and how much smoother things can be on much better technology.
Bullish. Let's fucking go. Weinekes, hit us with it.
Let's fucking go.
Yes. Fucking
just to go back to Weinekes's question about the Fudsters, right? The no coiner Fudsters, I find it's lazy helplessness. So, you know, they don't want to actually put in the work to, you know, to actually learn something, you know, to learn about, you know, to learn about money, its origins, or anything like that. And then after that, it's helplessness against the system, where, well, you know, the government prints the money, so, you know, who am I to try to change this? So you get that. And when it comes to the, you know, the kind of the shitcoiner Fudsters, you know, it that has more to do with high time preference. Those people, okay, they want more Bitcoin. I think there's two types, right? There's like the fiat shitcoiner, right, that just wants the USD gains or whatever local currency they're in, and or you have the you know, the Bitcoin shitcoiner, you know, the one that wants to increase the stack of Bitcoin but is going to sit there and shill absolute garbage to get other people to buy their bags, you know. So it's the incentives, and those people that do that, they're high time preference. They want to accumulate as quickly as possible, and they're willing to throw, you know, other people under the bus to do it.
Wisdom.
That's why Bitcoin, like, Bitcoiners are not incentivized to do crime, because I think, like, generally we're people with high morals, and we don't really hold this for those gains, right?
Actually, you know what? Speaking of crime, the comment that My Living Truth made before about, you know, does Bitcoin enable crime? Actually, it's quite the opposite. It reduces the friction in criminal activity. See, this criminal activity would be occurring anyways, okay? The only difference is that it would be occurring, and it would be more likely people-to-people contact, which would enable the likelihood of something going wrong, you know, possibly somebody getting injured, somebody getting killed in the transaction, who knows what. So it's actually the opposite. It's, you know, Bitcoin, you know, actually reduced the friction for, you know, a very good portion of time, you know, in its infancy.
To add to Phil's point, I started reading The Sovereign Individual, and fuck, I wish I've read this book earlier, honestly. And he talks about how violence is, like, the main aspect of society. It's obviously the most important aspect of, like, society that we are trying to figure out a way to curb, right? And I think, like, you know, Ross Ulbricht with Silk Road proved something, that Bitcoin fixes this, right? And free Ross.
Right on.
Agreed. Man, it got somber real quick. Let's go. But, like, that's why we do, that's why we Bitcoin. That's why we come out here every week. We show up to kindergarten. We make sure we're on topic. We make sure we're on the news. because this shit is important. And even though at times it seems like we're just bullshitting and shit posting on Twitter, like we're definitely playing a very serious game right now. And most of the people aren't even aware of it. And even myself, at times I forget how serious and precarious this time is for us to be Bitcoiners. And when I do remember at times like this, it just makes me so bullish and so proud to know all you guys and know that I'm not alone in this. Cause if I didn't have you guys around, I would think that I'm crazy, but you guys definitely make me at times feel not only sane, but like mild compared to how much you know and how convicted you guys are. So shouts out to you guys. Much love to my Bitcoin friends out there in the Twitterverse. And man, fucking just, I'm just grateful right now. Like getting sappy on you guys, dude. Like, it's been a rip.
I love it, Optimist.
It's been a rip today.
Like every
he's not
every
Optimist, single... bro. Jessifer, he's Eclectic Fields, bro. Come on. Get with it. Update the firmware, Jessifer. Satoshi Brainlove. Yeah. This is Eclectic Fields. You guys change your names now. It's a wrap. It's different. It's bear market time.
We're stealing ourselves, you know, just we end up facing the volatility, all the FUD lines, all of that, you know, kind of preparing ourselves with rhetoric on a daily basis. And at the end of the day, it becomes clear just how weak, like all of that FUD becomes. And thanks to you all for, you know, talking about this and working through it and facing the uncomfortable truths of the matter, eclectic as they may be. But yeah, it is inspiring. So thanks, Sasayoshi, for throwing that in the chat. Just to get to hear you all talk, it really is a gift,
man.
You're welcome.
Right as I'm about to say, man, it's very humbling. Weinekes just comes in, balls swinging. Let's fucking
no
go.
Shame. Yo, guys, so I have another theory that came to me just now. Weinekes inspired this just now. So, you know how McAfee said he would cut his dick off?
Yeah,
So the micropenis of death correlation to this, I mean, I can't unsee it.
Jesus.
I can't unsee it, boys. I can't.
It's literal.
Oh, man. Machiavelli. If you don't think I'm signal yet,
if you don't think I'm signal yet, I don't know what to fucking tell you.
Shishi is all signal, bro. All signal. Few understand this. Oh, my God. What a day. What a rip, boys. All right. Yeah, Z-Fusion, full circle. Exactly. Full circle on that one. All right, guys. Well, we've been going for over an hour. Anyone want to put in some last thoughts before we wrap this one up? Chesterfer, why are you so mean to us, dude? Nah, I'm just playing. Actual degens. It's my favorite kind of peoples around here.
I take that as a compliment, bro.
I know, right?
Like when someone calls me a degenerate, man. I'm like, wow, like you think strong. You have strong emotions towards me. That's
wow.
All I hear.
You know me so well. That's actually endearing.
Yeah. Eclectic fields, bro. I'll change it. That's what you're channeling right now.
Bruh, I'll change it right now. Going on Twitter, changing it right now. Any last thoughts, boys, and ladies?
Shout outs.
Some what?
Some shout outs.
Shout outs. Hit them up. Let's get
some. The live YouTube stream that is up for something new and all the people in that chat.
Oh, yeah.
And shout out the new website, btckindergarten.com. And next week, we got Apex. He's super toxic. He was just in El Salvador, so he's going to give us the pleb point of view of what's going on over there, not the influencer point of view. And we got the memers coming in a couple weeks. So,
yeah, bro, we got a pack lineup for you guys, and we're pretty hyped. This next couple of weeks should be pretty lit. Definitely don't miss Apex next week, But like for real, we got the whole meme factory coming in 2 weeks, guys. That shit is going to be absolute bananas. I think we're going to just do a meme factory takeover special episode. It's going to definitely get us canceled, but that's why we're here, dude. Uh-oh.
Yo, Sayoshi's here representing the meme tards. So
he's throwing shots.
Let's we're going to need a Sayoshi rebuttal episode after that, or he can come in and troll them out.
Yeah, you better be in the chat trolling, guy. We need the trolls, dude. I feed on the trolls, dude. That's how you get the energy up in here, is when you guys are trolling. Hey, let's go, Z Fusion. All right, guys. Well, this was episode 97. We're nearing that 100, boys. We're a few away from making it to the fabled 100 episodes. So, man, we're just going to keep rolling this out. As long as Bitcoin's alive, we are going to be here doing shows. We're going to be making it better. Winikus has got a whip to mine and Justifer's back. And it's going to get prettier and better for you guys. So hope
you
come back.
Are you saying there is no top?
We're saying there is no top. The floor is set. There is no top. Phew. Okay. Phew. All right, guys. Love you all. Thanks for listening. Everyone on YouTube, shouts out to you. We appreciate you guys. Spread the word. We love you guys in the chat. It makes it that much more fun. It's a lot more interactive now with so many live chats going on. I'm overstimulated over here trying to keep this all in accord, but it's Discord, eh? Wink, wink. I'm throwing Just for Dad jokes out now.
Oh, that was good. What a killer way to end.
All right. See you guys. We'll see you next week.